This is Unexpected Beginnings, the neonatal unit. Thanks to funding from Leeds Hospitals Charity and the support of Leeds Children's Hospital, we're back with a brand new season. I'm Caroline Verdon.
And I'm Kerry McCarthy. And we've both had babies on the neonatal unit, so we've both got first-hand experience of some of the highs and some of the lows.
Coming up on this episode...
I have mum guilt every single day. It's holding one and thinking I need to hold the other one, and the other one's got their arms up or they're crying. And sometimes there's been babies where they've been in different hospitals because one's come for a surgical review with us. I can't imagine being those parents. I really can't. You're splitting yourselves in half. And you just want your family unit to be together.
Hello and welcome to episode 4. So this month we wanted to talk about twins and multiple births. So we're joined by Ashley Emerson, who has twin girls. They were born at just over 33 weeks and so spent time on a neonatal unit. But as well as being a twin mum, she's also a neonatal sister at Leeds Children's Hospital. So Ashley, tell us a little bit about your family.
We tried for 5 years, 3 years, and then 2 years did IVF. I lost 3 ectopic and then 2 miscarriages, 2 egg collections. And then the girls just happened to be my second egg collection round. So they were our last pot, really. I mean, I do have 4 more embryos in the freezer, but never again. So me and my husband have been together for 13 years and then decided we'd try for a family. Obviously didn't happen. And then at 6 weeks, we had a scan just to make sure it weren't ectopic, and then it wasn't, but there were just 1 baby, no heartbeat. And then 11 days later, went back and there was 2 heartbeats. So only 1 embryo, so identical. So we were really happy.
And so at the time that you had the girls, you were very familiar, shall we say, with neonatal.
Yeah, didn't have the best pregnancy, wouldn't opt to put 2 embryos back anyway because of the ectopic, but had pretty much everything except preeclampsia, hyperemesis, pretty rough ride pregnancy, and obviously being on the unit was really difficult because there was, at the time, I think there was 25 or 26 week of twins who one of them passed away, and I was a similar stage. I never ever told that family that I was expecting twins, but yeah, it was pretty hard going. And then I ended up leaving at 26 weeks because I had gestational diabetes and I just weren't eating because of how busy the ward is. And then yeah, I ended up on not my unit, on a different unit. And yeah, just it's hard being on the other side.
You're in quite a unique position, I suppose, because most parents, when they find themselves with babies on neonatal, they either have absolutely no understanding of neonatal, never been to a unit, it's a complete shock, or perhaps they've had days, weeks, maybe a couple of months to get their head around the fact that their babies might be there. Did you expect to end up with babies on the unit?
Yeah. So obviously there's 2 growing in there. The likeliness that they were going to be smaller was high. And there was a lot of other complications as well. There was a little bit questionable as to whether I was twin-to-twin transfusion at one point.
What does that mean?
So one baby would get more of the blood supply than the other one, basically. They were all right. They were very similar weights, actually. The reason that I actually delivered was, so I was 33 weeks and I always had reduced movements with twin one. And I did sit on it all night, actually, from about midnight. I woke up thinking, oh, I've not felt Amelia moving. They didn't have names at this point.
Sorry, you could tell the difference.
Yeah, you can tell the difference between who moves, yeah. One had one side and one had the other side. So I always knew which one was which. So yeah, I always had movement more from Gracie. She had a lot more of the space. Amelia just stayed head down and was a bit more of the lazier twin. Gracie just moved all the time. So she was never the one that I worried about. I went in about 5 times with reduced movements and it was always with Amelia. She was just always the sleepier twin, which she is a little bit more so now. And then my waters just went spontaneously. I got the steroids, I got the magnesium sulfate 2 days before, luckily. And yeah, I suppose I always expected to be on the unit. Back to the first question, I was always planned to have a section at 36 weeks. I'd gone with the section because I was really all the way through the pregnancy, because I'd had losses previously, I was always worried that I was going to actually lose the babies, and the fact that it was a high-risk pregnancy. Gestational diabetes, I ended up on crutches. I would have ultimately been in a wheelchair. I think it was pretty bad on my pelvis. Yeah, I suppose I always expected to be on a unit. So I had a category 2. section, so semi-emergency. I was told, and I don't know how right this is, but I was told by the doctor that I would have had an epidural anyway. Most twin mums, and I'm pretty sure all twin mums, are told that they need an epidural just in case they were in labour and then they needed a section. So twin one would have opened the pathway sort of thing to get them out, which Amelia was always head down. And then Gracie could have been any way around. And she would have been like manually helped to get out. And I was told that I would only have 30 minutes to get her out before a section. So I chose the section. And looking at it now, maybe I do wish that I'd gone natural because of the body situation. I have such a big C-section scar, but here they're safe. That's all that matters.
And what was it like? And I guess you don't have anything to compare it to because you have the knowledge, but I always wonder what it's like when you have all this information and you have seen in your career miracles and you have seen the complete opposite and you've seen things go wrong. And as you said, you've dealt with babies who have passed. To have all that information bubbling around your head and then you're lying there ready for this C-section, what was that like?
They wheeled me into the theatre and I actually said, just save my babies and not me. It doesn't really matter about me. And I don't really know. I think that was just a mum emotional. The nurse side just went out of my head. As I was on the table watching them, I could see that they couldn't get the inflation breaths on Amelia. And at that moment in time, I was panicking. I was laid there thinking, oh my gosh. And it's so helpless being there thinking I could help, but I can't help. Your whole world is just being wheeled out of the room and you're unable to get up. And the fact that I'm a nurse, it just goes out of it. I'm a mummy. I'm a mummy first and foremost. And that's what I am now all the time. And I think that's probably what I am at work. I'm more a mummy. And I'd like to think that I could relate to people more than a nurse. Just having that whole going on to a new unit. And I was the one crying at the door because my husband was leaving. And everyone was really friendly. And everyone knew that I was a nurse. And I had friends on there that I'd worked with in Leeds before. And I was lucky enough that they looked after my babies. But I'm a mummy and I feel exactly the same as how everyone else felt. And I never actually told our parents on the unit that I was a neonatal nurse because I felt like they would treat me differently and ask me questions and I didn't want that.
Do you feel like you are different towards the families than you were before?
I've always been quite caring for families, yeah. But yes, very different. Just little things like, have you got a parking permit? Do you know where the toilet is? It's silly things that you panic about. And also, I did 6 months of expressing with the girls, so I'm very big up on the expressing. And I think you probably do get told different information from different people. And I did go through the expressing journey. They would never latch. I always thought, I know what I'm doing. I'm really good at breastfeeding at work. It was a shambles. Yeah, it's a rough ride. And even getting them home, I had my kids dressed in cardigans and I had my heating on 30 degrees and everything that a parent has asked me in the past, I did. And in the past, I've been like, yeah, don't do that. You just treat them like normal. No, I did it because you're just a mum. You're a mum and that's it. And it's my health visitor that came out and said, what are you doing? It's boiling in here. It's subtropical. It would be summer. And I'm just a normal person. And I think I'd probably get down to the level of mummies and daddies at work because I've been through it and I've said I've done a neonatal journey and it's hard. I never had to actually ask permission to get my babies out. That is one thing that I never did. But I do think it's really sad that you feel like it's not your baby and then the nurse is saying, my baby this, my baby that. And it is hurtful. It's awful. It is awful. Other people looking after your babies, touching your babies. I think it's a grieving process. And I always say this to parents, the fact that I knew that mine were going to be potentially in hospital. I knew that. But just the fact that my husband doesn't get the picture of him initially taking them out. We didn't hold them in theatre. There's been a lot of mental health. I think I did suffer with postnatal depression. There was one situation where the girls didn't need monitoring on. I'd actually asked for the monitoring to be turned off. I was like, they're not on any medication. They're not doing anything on the monitor. Can we turn the monitoring off? And then my husband came to visit because he's self-employed, so he still worked. And then he left and I felt a lot more confident when my husband was there. And I do still now. He knows nothing about babies, but I still asked him questions like, what do you think? I really needed him by my side. And I remember the monitoring got turned off and then later at night, I thought, oh my gosh, they're not going to look after my babies properly. I know that there's a nurse looking after both of them, but they are not going to look after my babies like I've sat with them all day and know that they're breathing. So I ran back into the nursery, crying my eyes out. And in the end, they turned the monitoring back on for me because I was just a mess. And then the next day, I felt a lot better. And I said, so I can feel like a real normal mummy, can I take them to the bedroom with me? And I did. And I felt like I'd put them out on the bed. And I just looked at them both and I'm like, oh my gosh, you are both mine. And I still feel like that to this day. They're 15 months old and I still look at them and think, how lucky am I? I've got two babies and they're both really healthy. I'm in and out of hospital all the time with chest infections and things, but I'm just so lucky. And I think from being a nurse, I still felt like I was a nurse on the ward. And it took me a long time, even when they got home, to think I'm not a nurse.
And obviously, my experience, like Kerry's, is with single babies. What do you think the differences are in terms of parental experiences for multiples?
It's a huge split. If I spent like 20 minutes with one, cuddling one, I'd need to spend 20 minutes with another one. I'm very much like that now. I don't know whether that's the same for other multiple parents, but if one went in a bouncer, the other one went in a bouncer, and giving them that experience, it's really difficult. It really is difficult. I think there's a huge worry because sometimes one baby does better than the other, and especially if they've been really early, and then we discuss going home, taking one and not taking the other. I could not have imagined that. And I know parents have done it in the past, but I could not imagine that, just having one baby there. I would have a huge mum guilt, and I have mum guilt every single day. It's holding one and thinking I need to hold the other one, and the other one's got their arms up or they're crying. And on the unit, this one's needs a feed, but then that one needs a feed. And my husband, he was good at it, but I'm the professional sort of thing, doing one feed and, oh, that other one's not taking as much this time. That's probably because he's fed them. And then it's having been mindful in my head that I need to feed that one next time. And then the other one, thinking, oh, he's fed that one now, so I need to feed that one next time, and just trying to do everything, probably as a nurse animal, just splitting yourself up. And sometimes there's been babies where they've been in different hospitals because one's come for a surgical review with us. I can't imagine being those parents. I really can't. You're splitting yourselves in half, and you just want your family unit to be together. My girls are very difficult to split up. They have only just stopped sharing a bed together. Up until 10 months, they just would not sleep. So initially we'd had them in a cot together. I never did the next to me, so I just did the cot because it just seemed a cheaper option, really. So they went in a cot together. And then we split them up thinking, oh, the nursery looks really cute with a cot here and a cot here, opposite sides of the room. And they just screamed all night and all night. And I've found that my twin one really needs Gracie. She really needs her sister. They are very inseparable. They used to hold hands all the time. In the pram, they look for each other. They are constantly looking for one another. They go to a nursery on Fridays whilst I'm at work, and I am asking them to split them a little bit. And I think I am asking them to do it because I can't. Yeah, it's a little bit like what I don't know can't hurt me. So if one goes outside to play or goes into the church or the shop or something, I ask them just to take the one. So they're becoming a little bit more individual, and we're moving house and I've got them separate bedrooms because I need them to be a little bit more separate because they are inseparable. It is difficult. And they did know in neonatal, they did get put into a cot together eventually, but they were in separate incubators and they didn't settle.
And in terms of advice for parents who have multiples, are there any hurdles that you think, do you know what, we have this because we're parent multiples? This is something that parents of singles wouldn't have.
Oh, I have double the love. It's so lovely. I'm going to be honest here. I feel like I missed out and I don't want another baby, but it would be nice to have a singleton. to do the whole journey of breastfeeding and just having one baby. The skin to skin and things like that, it was really difficult because having them, I wanted them both on me all at the same time because I didn't want to let go and one have a minute less sort of thing. And that triplet mums, wow, they're incredible women. They are incredible women. It is really hard work having two babies at the same time, wanting the same thing, even now. But it does get easier and each stage is very different. But on the unit, it's incredibly hard to, you've got one that you're thinking about constantly with the doctors and what path they're going, and then the other one potentially having a different pathway. I can't imagine having them both on a ventilator and having the decisions that they have to make. Also, bonding wise, I really struggled with twin one. I really struggled because Gracie seemed to be the one that needed me more. And if I have a nicer outfit or a nicer colour outfit, hopefully she'll never hear this, but she will go in it. Amelia will go in it because I always feel like Gracie had more time with me. And people will say to me, which one do you like best? And that's the hardest question and the most awfulest question that anyone could ever ask me.
I've got a teenager, so at the minute, I probably would choose.
Yeah. I can't even bring myself to think about the teenage years yet. That's about all we've got time for on this month's episode. If you would like any more information, you'll find more details in the show notes. And as ever, please do remember to click follow and leave us a review. We'll see you next month. Unexpected Beginnings, the Neonatal Unit, is proudly funded by Leeds Hospitals Charity. As the official charity of Leeds Teaching Hospitals, they support NHS staff to deliver the best care for patients and their families. Generous donations have funded life-saving equipment, research, fellowships, and improvements to the patient environment. Every penny donated helps to support the hardworking staff across the hospitals and enhance the experience of patients and their families. To find out more, head to leedshospitalscharity.org.uk.